Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast, where me, AJ Hart, and my lovely host, Blake Rea.
Are you implying I'm your host? Like, this is like, I'm just podcasting to you alone, specifically.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my podcast, where Blake talks to me for an hour and a half, and I just sit here and think, I love this. This is a good time that I'm having.
I love when my best friend just talks at me and never lets me say anything.
this is a show where we take your lovely pieces of...
Oh, no, my fan's on, AJ. What? I fucked up. I fucked up bad. I did the one
What'd
big podcasting no-no. My fan was on. It's off now.
Your fan was on the whole fucking time.
I ruined our total
I have to start over. I have to do my whole intro now again because you came in here like a fucking clown.
No, you don't have to start over.
Been doing this shit for over a year now, coming up on a year and a half. And ooh.
But it's so hot, AJ, it's just like, it's fucking 90 degrees in LA. We've had the hottest summer we've ever had here in LA. And I have to sit here almost nude, and I still have to have a fan on. And it's just, I'm suffering. I'm living in a nightmare.
I would be nude if I wasn't in like a polyester chair.
You're in a polyester chair?
Yeah. The second my skin touches it, the chair is like, grabby hands, and it just sticks there, and it's the worst thing ever.
I could do you one better. I'm in a wooden chair, but because it's wooden, for sitting in it for long periods of time, it just fucks up my ass and my back. So I actually layered on a bunch of cotton blankets into it. So just, it's like a nuclear power plant in right where my ass is right now. It's just that hot.
Yeah, you have like a little butt blanket.
I got a little butt blanket and it's just very, it's very, very warm. If you can't tell, we design video games or something. We take your lovely submissions from the internet, all from Twitter, Reddit, email, and YouTube, even though it's an official channel. Don't believe my host, he's an idiot.
Not official channels. Yeah.
Like, what did I say? What did I say? One day we'll get some more YouTube submissions. I just like saying it. And we turn those games into the next AAA video games.
And I have to tell you, Blake, we have a mission today.
What's the mission?
Our mission is... I've been independently contracted by Microsoft. They came to me and they said, AJ, it's me, the guy in charge of Microsoft. We've had to stop all of our video games. Fable, that's not coming out for this decade. Halo, that's not coming out with the launch. We weren't going to get Deathloop with launch anyway, but first quarter, second quarter, we were hoping for it. We don't have any games, and we said in our press release that we're still launching Xbox Series S. I know it's a bad name, but we're still launching it this year with thousands of games, but we don't have any of those.
So is this episode creating those thousands of games that they were talking about behind the scenes?
We're creating the games for Xbox Microsoft's Series S. Also... Holy shit, that's a really bad name. I know everyone else has already dunked on them for it.
That name sucks ass.
Well, like, it sucks shit because they already had the Xbox One S.
Yeah, no, it's
how do you do the Xbox One S and then say, all right, next generation Xbox Series S, and it's super different. Like, piss off, dude.
See, I don't know. The thing is, why do you think Microsoft has changed or fallen? Because like they were at the beginning, like with Xbox, with their original Xbox and with the Xbox 360, and I'd say it started to peter out towards the Xbox One series. They used to be like some of the front runners of like setting standards for games and really being adamant about releasing original content. And it's just kind of a bummer that they're going from that to leaning more into, I wouldn't be surprised if they were influenced by streaming services to try and release the next, like, home entertainment system.
Yeah, they've publicly said that they're not looking to do, like, big AAA, like, narrative story games. That's not what they're interested in. They are interested in creating, like, the Netflix of video games, right? Like, that's why they continue to press their subscription service. That's why they continue to press this library. That's why when they said, like, we don't have, like, a main party game coming on, but we do have thousands of games you can play with Game Pass. So here's the goal. everything that we're making is an Xbox exclusive for their Xbox Series X Season Pass extraordinary.
See,
how did they do that though? It's like if Doritos was like, check it out, we have Doritos Cool Ranch. And then they were like, all right, and these are all of our Doritos. Get ready for our new Doritos. Doritos Cold Ranch. It's different. It's the sequel to Doritos. It's a different thing. Don't get it tripped up with Cool Ranch. This is Cold Ranch.
And it's just a lighter shade of blue as the bag. It's just like a sky blue rather than a deep blue. Like, no, it's totally different. It's totally different.
Do you think that they're doing this purposefully to screw over, like, moms during, like, the holiday season when, like, parents are going out to, like, buy their kids the new Xbox Series S and they buy the Xbox One S and Microsoft is like, nice, they bought our old junk shit thing. Now they have to still buy our cool new thing.
It could be that...
do you think it's that nefarious?
I honestly, I know this is big gaming, admittedly. I think they just made a dumb mistake, to be totally honest with you. It just sounds, I don't know. It just doesn't,
That tracks that it could just be a really bad decision. Keep in mind that this is the company that released the Xbox One S all digital, which that's the Xbox SAD.
God,
that's the Xbox One SAD.
That's what Series stands for. Xbox SAD Series. That's the name.
Well, no, that's Xbox SAD One Series. Yeah, like how does that get past you? How do you mess that up so bad? Is nobody in there sitting down and saying, like, what are we going to name that? And, like, whatever gets on the chalkboard first is the thing that they're going with.
I don't know. We could, like, this conversation makes me sad.
Hey, Blake, we're 13, we're 15 minutes in now.
Yeah, we should. I was literally just about to say, like, hey,
I think.
We're not a talk video game podcast. I mean, technically we are. We're a game design podcast. And
we're
really
a fake
quickly,
video
AJ,
game design podcast.
I don't know if you saw, but our big budget AAA butter wrestling game came out last week and it was a fucking hit. We have so much merch now. People are like putting butter on themselves and showing up to events. I've actually gotten lawsuits about kids putting butter on themselves and like hitting each other with weed whackers in their backyard. It's a fucking phenomenon. It's going great.
Yeah, I've gotten nothing but love letters, which is amazing. Like, I love that you're the one getting sued and I'm financially safe. I'm really glad that none of my personal information was into the game, and I'm only tied into the company on the back end.
I signed all the paperwork, but you know, hey man, high risk, high reward. That's how it is when you're the king of butter. Here's the freaking trailer.
Spiritual Successor Games.
Let's get ready to chill!
Your own wrestler, cover them in buttery goodness, and slip and slide your way to butt kicking. Fight your way to the top, and you just might win a lifetime supply of butter. But do you think it'll be that easy to win? You've trained for this.
One!
You've got to be lard and in charge.
Two!
You're the cream of the crop, kid. Now get up!
Three! Oh my god, he's on his feet again! Like a golden, buttery god, he's up and... K.O.!
Heel churn, slide into the ring today! Hello and welcome back, gamers! I hope you enjoyed that trailer.
I fucking destroyed my voice doing Macho Man Randy Savage for that trailer. Like, I don't know if I texted you about it, AJ, but like I woke up the next day and my voice was just like anything. It was like a whisper. It was like it turned my voice into a whispery voice for like a day, and it was like
but
so
it was
painful.
For the art.
It was so for the art, and that was like. After that trailer was done and I sent it to you, I just like had this moment of like, holy fuck, this was so much fun to do. And I can't wait to do more trailers about that.
And it wasn't just really us quickly, that had fun with it. We had somebody help us out from our Discord, which was really cool.
Yeah! Andrew Willoughby, you sassy motherfucker. They submitted their voice for us this week at the beginning of the trailer, and that actually brings up something really cool that we're starting to do. If you are on our Patreon and on our Discord, you can actually submit your voice to be used at the beginning of all of our trailers. Every time we do a trailer, there will be an opening for a fan to submit their voice at the beginning of it, and Andrew was our first one.
Yeah, so what we're going to be doing moving forward is everybody that submits to our Discord and through our Patreon, we're also going to be reaching out and trying to get an audio file from them of just like a little stinger, and then all of those are going to be put in a big folder, so every time we do one of those trailers, one of those is going to be picked randomly. So we're going to be interacting with all of you just a little bit more on the creative side of stuff. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, we were thinking of like, hey, what's some cool things we can start doing with the Patreon and with the launch of these trailers? It'd be just kind of cool to have fan voices in the beginning of them. If you got $2, consider grabbing a battle pass on our Patreon where you get a bunch of other benefits as well as the voice thing. But we've been talking for almost 20 minutes now, at least in our recording. So we should get onto
this
fucking episode.
We've definitely gutted a lot of this, right?
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I hope you did it. You're the one editing.
Maybe I just removed the whole thing and the episode starting right now.
Oh, shit. Where it's just the trailer. And then, like, we open with the trailer and now it's like, really quickly, hey, everybody, I'm your host, Blake Rea. He's AJ Hart. And we talk about cool games that shouldn't be made.
Yeah, how's it going, everybody? I'm AJ Hart. We're starting the episode right now because we spent 20 minutes talking about jack shit that didn't really matter, and now we're ready to start the show. Let's go!
All right, the first submission comes from Trans Artist of the Day. First-person shooter, but you have to do a push-up in real life to fire your gun. I want to do an FPS shooter that's like, I want to do the Ring Fit Adventure of FPS shooters. So you have, like, your body is strapped up with, like, a motion capture suit, like, really cheap or whatever, and you, to do certain things, you have to exercise. So to move and walk, sure, is, like, you walk, you have to jog in place and whatever, jumping is jumping. But the moment you want to fire your gun, you have to basically do a burpee. And for those that don't know what burpees are, it's, like, you're in a standing position, you drop down into a push-up position, you do a push-up, and then you have to jump up again. So it's just like, it's that loop. So it's just like, this is a game of doing burpees to kill your opponents. It's going to be so wickedly slow, but I think it would be fascinating highly intense.
Okay. The music's going to be so highly intense. Something that we need to explore the workouts, right? And we need to explore what the workouts do. Because if you're using a gun, I think that a burpee every time you need to shoot one bullet is, let's be honest here, it's a bit ridiculous. But you know what's not ridiculous to do pretty quickly? If you were to be dependent on it, a squat. What? What if a burpee is a grenade, but a gun shoot is a little squat?
Uh-huh. All right, real quick question to put some stank on this. Is this actually going to be real exercises, or is it going to be like the exercises that people think are efficient but are actually like actually killing you? Like the ones
killing you?
Well, yeah, there's some exercises that are like if you have terrible form, it's going to hurt you. Or is this going to be a game where it's just like it assumes that you know how to do a specific exercise? It's not like Ring Fit was kind of cool where it actually
an example of a workout that we can give to people regularly that will do more damage to them than good?
There was a workout I found out. Hi, Blake Rea, occasionally works out, baby. Where you
hi,
take
Blake
a
Rea, I read two workout articles on getfit.com.
I know. I read two articles on BuzzFeed. Thank you. Their information is like inscrutable.
Blake Rea, I read an article on Goop, so I can definitely be trusted.
I know what fitness is. I'm a gamer. So basically, okay, shut up. I gotta explain how this exercise hurts people. So you take like a weight bar, so it's like the bar that has the weights on the side of it. You actually lift it above your head and you bring it back down behind your head. What they found out is that can slowly like deteriorate how your neck and your back and your spine, and it's actually really fucking bad for you. So if you're doing exercises where you have the push-up bar or whatever and you bring it down behind your head, you're actually hurting the shit out of yourself. So is this a game that is all about doing those bad exercises, or is this a game about doing fun exercises? Like fun and efficient.
Well, here's what's
exercises.
Incredible. Blake, what's something that you hate seeing people do in games? Like, we can essentially weaponize our game. If we create a game mm-hmm. and we really hate jump shot or like jump shooting or crouch diving or something, like like I hate in video games when people like Gears of War, I always hated the shotgun meta because shotguns suck shit and they just like are an instant kill button. But in in this video game that we're making, the only way to use the shotgun is if you do the really bad workout that destroys your neck and noggin.
Oh, so you're de-incentivizing it. Oh, God.
We're going to do a game where the, air quotes, meta for the game, the real way to play, will destroy their goddamn bodies.
Okay. All right. I'm down for that. I think there's one other thing I want to talk about with this game. You know,
the more harmful the workout is, the better it is in game.
No. More specifically, every game has like that one, like that primo thing that everybody brags about. In Halo, it's, oh shit, you got sticky-nated from the grave. That's the big thing about that game. In Call of Duty, it's a 360 no-scope. What is the 360 no-scope of this FPS workout game?
Backflip.
It's a backflip? You have to backflip? Oh my god. Oh my god, AJ, that's how you use your ultimate. It's like, what's it called? When you're playing Call of Duty Zombies, you know, like, when you get the nuke, it just destroys everything in the area. So, like, if you can do a oh man, so many people are gonna break their necks, and it's gonna get there's gonna be a lot of lawsuits coming our way, boyo. If you thought heel churn was bad with the lawsuits...
Okay, so what this is this is a shooter game where in order to activate kill streaks or abilities a la Overwatch, Valorant, things like that, you have to do a real workout in the world. Your alt will only be triggerable if you can do a backflip.
Oh, God. Dude, see, but this is also kind of fucked up because there's some people out there that could do backflips pretty efficiently.
You show me an e-sport, like professional e-gamer, a professional gamer that can do a backflip, and I will give you $5.
But see, here's the thing, though. Watching esports is going to be way more fucking interesting now. I don't. Anytime they do a cutaway from like when I'm watching like footage of League or at Evo, where you actually see the fighting tournament, it's fucking hype and it's cool. But then they cut away to the gamers like sitting at their computer, completely still, motionless, just eyes trained on the monitor. I'm like, this is boring to watch. This isn't entertainment. Or they actually, it's only fun. When, what's his name? It's the guy that, actually, I think they're non-binary. Correct me if I'm wrong. Fox?
Yes, they, them. They're NB.
They, them. Sweet. Awesome. Thank you for correcting me on that. So, when they're on the stage, they're hype as fuck because they've got a personality. They are energetic. They move. They actually talk to the people that they're playing with. They're, like, they're just nice. I think that's what, like, live gaming needs is just people like being nice to one another is just so much more engaging.
Yeah,
but think about
this. Could you imagine the game where like when it goes to the wide that shows the team, everybody's kind of standing there playing with the the game controllers and the gamepads, ducking and weaving, and at any moment like you know that the team fights are rounding up, there's big batches, and you're like, at any second now someone's gonna do a backflip and it's gonna be the most hype
holy shit. Also, that brings up like kind of a crazy thing, like you just like you cut to people like shadow boxing, because this is like this can go into like actual like all the like, because like when you get close to people you have to melee them, right? It just becomes like,
do different characters have different workouts?
Ooh, you have one who's like the CrossFit guy and then you have the other one who's all nothing but weight training. So like depending on your class depicts like what exercises you're doing and like the rigorousness of your workout, right? So like That's cool because it's like, hey, I guess I'm doing leg day. I guess I'm playing the scout from Team Fortress 2. It looks like I need to do heavy weightlifting today. So you to carry a big gun in the game, you got to carry big weights, homie. That's like that's how it works.
Yes. Okay. What we're doing is we're creating not only like do the character classes matter, but what class you pick is going to determine what like workouts you main, and that's going to change the body type of you, right? Like somebody that's a tank or like a DPS is going to be so jacked and big muscled, but like a support character, they have to do so many reps. They're toned as hell. Not super big, but damn, are those muscles tight.
But all of these exercise, all of these classes are so specific. So, like, if you only do one specific, like, class, you're only, like, you're going to be the guy that's, like, jacked arms, but your legs look like fucking toothpicks. Or if you're the leg person, you're just going to have, like, a regular-looking torso, but your legs are going to look like you like you're part of them. You have, like, mech for, like, legs. It's just going to you have to play all classes to actually get a well-rounded workout.
The interesting part is going to be, because I don't know jack shit about working out, there's going to be one character
that by nature
of the workouts...
What are you talking about? You're a toned, handsome motherfucker. You know what's up. What are you talking
by
about?
By merit of, like, what character... Like, we know that every character is going to have different skills, and that means that there's going to be one character that, just because of the workouts that they naturally have, is more likely to get their player backflip ready before the rest of the players.
Oh, so like, are you...
Somebody might be able to be like, oh, I main charcuterie. And charcuterie's part, like, workouts means that, honestly, within like 200-300 hours worth of gameplay, I can probably do a backflip. But let's say that you're playing... let's say that you're playing Megalodon, the tank of the game. I'm getting so big muscled in my arms, but man, I'm not trying a backflip. Maybe
AJ.
Ever. Maybe Megalodons don't...
AJ, I've unlocked it. This is how we're gonna do two things. There's going to be seasonal content to this game, and there's also going to be the way experience works is that at every level you unlock a new weapon, a new ability, but it's also a new exercise. So because, like, the big thing about exercising is if you do the same thing over and over and over again, your muscles are gonna adapt and it's not gonna be as efficient as it was when you first started doing it. So to learn and get and evolve as a person who's exercising, you also need to evolve in the game to unlock different workout regimens. So it's like, and but also that incentivize, you get new weapons, you get new abilities, whatever.
So but what you're proposing, also, okay, really quick, just so I understand, kind of what makes an e-sport really work is the idea of, like, there are set rules and set expectations when we go in. I think that we can't necessarily offer, like, a level up as you start to unlock others, like, workouts you can do.
What I am proposing, though, is
that every couple of seasons, we'll just, like, swap, like, us on the back end, we'll swap the workouts you need to do for character skills. So maybe somebody used to be able to bench, like, no one's business, but that now they're like, are you kidding me? They changed my character. Now I can't bench to use my laser. I have to do five. I have to squat to get my laser in. And I'm going to be able to do that super easy for the first half of the game, but I'm not built for that. I'm going to get tuckered out of squats and not want to do them once I hit the 20-minute mark.
See, I like that because you're going to get reactions from people being like, yeah, I really love working out my arms, but they fucking nerfed my character, so I don't work out my arms anymore. It's awful. My hips look great, but my arms, they just like, it's like I'm in an old rubber hose cartoon from the 1930s.
Gilgamesh has to do a fucking burpee to use his cool sword now? He's unplayable.
Okay, I think we had a lot of fun with that. We should talk about, we should put a pin in our FPS workout game. What game you got for me, brother?
This comes from Gazer at Just Gazer, the original Day One A1. An action puzzle game where you are stuck in a time loop, and the only way out is to survive to the end and reset the loop machine at the other end of the map. You have 69 minutes and 6.969 seconds of IRL time to do so. So it's a timeless game where we get 69 minutes.
Isn't this just that loop FPS game that got delayed again from...
it's just that loop, isn't it?
But you know what? I like us doing this because that game's not going to come out for a while. So you know what we do here at Spiritual Suck?
That's true. Deathloop just
We like to fill in the gaps, you know? Like,
how's it going? Welcome to Spiritual Successor. We eat other people's lunches for our lunch. Deathloop got delayed, and obviously this is because they are doing two things. One, they're extending the amount of game time by 9 minutes. It used to be 1 hour, now it's 69. We're also making it just a touch more horny.
Oh, God. Okay, so it's a horny Groundhog's Day sort of game. right?
Just a little bit. Like, I'm imagining, mm-hmm. like, fighting game horny. Like, you look at it and you're like, wow, oh, that's really fucking horny. But then, like, we don't do anything with it. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, okay. It's some real code vein shit.
Okay, so, because you and I were just spending, like, the past hour before recording just looking at Guilty Gear, like, character designs that are, like, pretty sexy. Gotta say. Jacko Valentine, gotta mm-hmm. say. It's got that level of goth, like, goth girl, but also, like, a cool fucking character design that'll kick the shit out of you. So are you going along those lines where it's just
also
like,
Johnny
just,
looks
Johnny's like fucking Johnny here, badass.
Johnny's big, really sexy too,
big,
right?
Big hat, open like just six pack with like an open trench coat. Sure. Fuck yeah.
What is it about trench coats that are just so sexy?
Because they're kind of like, I don't know. Like, here's the thing, AJ. I don't know about you, but have you ever met a person in real life wearing a trench coat that looks good? I haven't. I sure as hell haven't. If anything, they look
well.
Kind
in the real life, I've met very few people that will wear a trench coat with a bare chest. Like, that's what makes it sexy.
Okay, but then it's not the trench coat that's sexy. It's the bare chest that's sexy.
It's just the bare chest. Yeah,
it's just,
you're
just,
right.
Just people just need to wear like more open, like open shirt vibe, dude. Like Hawaiian shirts, not really sexy. The moment you unbutton them, though, sexy. I don't know if you knew this, but yes, there's a lot of great designs of Guilty Gear. You like that one, buddy? You like my fucking Hawaiian shirt, Biz? I only
immediately becoming like a thirst tool. Undo the buttons is very comical to me.
Well, I only mentioned this because I was at the beach yesterday with my brother, and he was wearing a Hawaiian shirt-esque thing, and it's just like, Hawaiian shirt's kind of goofy, they're soft, they're meant to be comfortable looking, but then like, it was like, it's getting hot, and he undid the button, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, dude, you look fucking great, you look fucking fantastic right now, and that's why I brought it up. It's weird.
It's the fun, flirty nature of yeah! the Hawaiian shirt with the sexual power of a bare chest. I mean, you're right, and I hate it, is the thing.
Okay, so how about this?
I hate that now, AJ. The next time I'm in a tourist trap and I see a Hawaiian button-up, I'm going to think, I could look pretty sexy, though.
Bro, and Hawaiian shirts, they're cheap. You can get a shit ton of them. You can have a Hawaiian shirt for every day of the week. And this actually brings us back to the game. Every character in this game has a different kind of Hawaiian shirt that's obviously open, right? So it's a time loop. You're stuck.
Death loop 69.
And you're stuck on like a tropical island a la Hawaii or Oahu or some mm-hmm. other like off of the east coast of the United States, like the Caribbean maybe. And you have an open shirt. And there's like a scene where like you obviously could be like, hey, there's a lot of bullets coming your way and you should put on a tactical vest. And he's like, and throw away the bare chested sexiness of my Hawaiian shirt? I think not, good sir. the idea that feels like very much Travis Touchdown, where he's like, I could wear armor, but you wouldn't see my sweet anime shirt. It's not happening. It's just not happening. Okay, so what is the mechanic of this game? We're on a tropical island and you're trying, you have to
We're
escape
on a tropical
the island
we
69 minutes. Is that the goal?
Yeah, you have to get out to the other side. Here's one possible question.
Mm-hmm.
If we're trying to bump up the horniness, how do you get out of the death loop? Is it just that you need to be not distracted by any amount of horniness for 69 minutes?
So you're telling me this is an
this
island
is going to be a game that ace people
like...
rule at.
This is a game. You're right. This is a fucking that ace people could be like, yeah, I had no difficulty playing this game. It was quite fun because there's like other things to do other than just tear at sexy things. It's just people being
sexed. There's things
up.
To do in this video game other than look at bare-chested Hawaiian t-shirt wearing characters.
Oh my god, the mini games in this game got to be really fun though. That'll be another distraction though. It's like you go and it's just like, hey, I don't know why, but there's just this skee ball tournament going on in the middle of the forest right now.
But if you accidentally walk over to the horny mini games, you do end up resetting.
Oh,
your character says, "Oh yeah, now I get to see some action," and then it resets, and you're like, "Ah, damn, I got punked again.
See,
gotta go
I
from the beginning."
I don't want it to start at the beginning.
The marketing of this game is incredibly horny. In game, very little horniness because the second something could get a little bit steamy, the time resets.
It's just. cucking the game. Oh man, every sexy game's got to have one. There's this steamy sauna where all the naked people like to hang out in. But the moment you get over there, you're just met with like a black screen that just says in red letters. It just spells cucked, like just right there.
There's like a fun like dialogue tree where like somebody invites you into their like apartment for a little bit, for a little nightcap, and you're like, ooh, maybe I'll go get a nightcap. You walk into the apartment, black screen, reset.
Wait, I think the gameplay loop of this is finding out what situations you need to be in to advance the story versus the ones that are just a just a reset. So it's like you have to go into the shop to get this certain item to advance the game, right? But that you don't know what shop it is. And you could walk into a shop that's like, hey, you wanna go into the back room? And then it just game ends, bam, you've been cucked. But is it a game like that where it's just trial and error?
Yeah, it's a trial and error game where you are on like the most randy island of all time, and you have to go 69 minutes and 6.9 seconds with no randiness happening. And once you do that, your character is set free, but no randiness can happen for that 1 hour and 9 minutes.
You know what vibe this gives me? It gives me serious Helltaker vibes, but from the perspective of the angel, who's just like, I'm just here to fill things out. And then they're just like, there's a bunch of sexy demons around me and I don't know what to do. This is chaotic energy that I've never had to deal with. So is it like kind of like that? It's like Helltaker, but from the perspective of the angel.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, everyone's just, like, over here indulging, and you as the angel have to, like, dodge and skirt and get around all of this horrid debauchery.
I don't want to be around these horny people. What the fuck is happening?
You got a game for me?
Yes, I do. All right, AJ, I don't know about you, but I stayed up many a night just watching infomercials. And one of my favorite infomercials was the Billy Mays stuff. This comes to us on Reddit from user SquidPope. Billy Mays, Thrilly Mays. So it's a Billy Mays infomercial style maze game. So what does that look like? Is it you are going to go through a maze, but to get through the maze's challenges, you have to use all of the things Billy Mays has ever talked about in his infomercials to get through it? So it's like a
choose-your-own
adventure click. It's a roguelike.
I'm sorry. No. Sorry. Wait. Let me try that again.
No.
Take two. It's a Metroidvania.
So you have to go through the game. Are you Billy Mays?
You are Billy Mays.
Or are you just like a kid?
You are going
like
all around this big, like horrible architecture, unlocking new things that Billy Mays has sold, so that you can double back and solve old puzzles.
How about this? Because it's like, I think this is something that a lot of people can connect to, of just like falling asleep with it. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but falling asleep watching TV and then you wake up at like 1 a.m. and that's when like hour long infomercial time is, and you just kind of like stare at it till you fall asleep again. What if the opening of this game is a kid goes to bed and wakes up in the middle of the infomercial and then is like sucked into the infomercial? So that's like the inciting incident of the game.
Oh, like you wake up and it's like, Billy Mays here and I need you to jump into the TV screen. Come on over here.
Yeah,
let's
so
go
like
on a grand
one,
adventure.
It could
Billy
be,
Mays.
So oh, it's like what's it called? That one movie that actually fucking bombed terribly. The Bookmaster or Pagemaster? Yeah, Pagemaster, where he like gets sucked into the books and like is brought on this adventure that saves the library, basically. So, God, that movie's so much fun. I actually really liked it.
So Billy Mays reaches out like the ring, takes your hand, brings you into the TV world.
he just see his big hairy ass arm just like morph out of the TV, and he does that like finger pull gesture.
Yeah.
It's just like, come.
And now
come
you're in like this Metroidvania world where you need to get through all of these different TV channel worlds, right? Like all of the zones will be based on different TV channels. And each like TV channel is going to have a different skill or a different item, which you can then use to double back and get to other levels and other spaces. What are some of the things that Billy Mays helped advertise?
Billy Mays advertised, I believe the big one was Clorox, right?
The Clorox wipes, yes.
So Billy Mays OxyClean was his big one. Oh God, that looks like pudding. That just does not look good at all.
OxyClean?
Yeah, OxyClean. I'm looking at him, like, look at a tank of just, like, OxyClean and a bunch of other, like, clothing, and it just looks like really deadly, disgusting soup. And I'm not about it.
I got a list here of all of the items that Billy Mace has pitched.
Oh, okay.
There's the awesome auger, which is a gardening tool. There's the Hercules hook, a hook for hanging objects on a wall. There's the Mighty Mendit, a bonding agent for mending cloth.
Is it as good as Flex Tape? Because if it's not, then what the fuck, Billy Mays?
There's the Steam Buddy, a lightweight steam iron. There's a lot of stuff here, dude. There's so many things that he helped advertise.
So each of those is, like, an item that he unlocks. Like, okay, I feel like... Okay, so we figured out the mechanics. It's like each level introduces a new... Or each zone, let's say, introduces a new tool that allows you to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
What is, like, the point? Are you just, like... why did Billy Mays bring you here? Is it, like... Is he actually a villain? And he's, like, trying... He starts off as a good guy, and he's trying to get all of his stuff back? Are you trying to help him get his stuff back so he can send you, like, he could fix things or send you home, but it turns out he's, like, an evil person? Or is it, like, they're, oh my god, actually, wait, I have it. The guy who did the ShamWow commercials, because he's an actual piece of shit, he, I don't know if you knew that.
No, you're right.
Hold on, let me.
No, the ShamWow guy is a piece of shit.
I have it, AJ. Because the ShamWow guy is a piece of shit, he's the villain of our game. So the ShamWow guy has invaded all other infomercials, like, that villain from Wreck-It Ralph style, where he's trying to control the whole arcade or control.
Yeah, like he was trying
game,
to do.
Let's say.
Before he got arrested for being a like, shit man.
Like he was trying to do. So this game is Billy Mays has brought you in because he needs your help to get all of his devices back that you can then use to get in collaboration to defeat the ShamWow guy.
Billy Mays says, so, I'm holding the ShamWow man back. I need you to go through every TV channel and retrieve my power items. If you can bring me my whole armory, then I can finally vanquish this piece of shit. Go forth, character. Bring me my tools.
I can picture your character. I can picture your character getting a really cool, like, utility belt of all of the various things.
And your character's like a little kid. I'm imagining something like the little Undertale sprite. Just a little kid that really shouldn't be holding all of these things. Definitely doesn't need the awesome auger, because that sounds like a horrible weapon, or the Hercules hook.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit. These names sound pretty badass, actually.
They sound pretty badass, don't they?
All right. That's a game. Give me
you ready
one,
for
friend.
Another video game idea?
Yes, sir.
This comes from our Reddit. What were you going to say? This comes from our Reddit. This comes from user Too Many Bees. Octodad Traveler.
Octodad Traveler. So you've played more Octopath Traveler than I have. And I know you didn't play all of it because it's so fucking massive,
it's
right?
It's really long. I spent 40 hours into it and only got like two characters, or only got like two chapters done for each character. Very large game.
So how do we turn Octodad into a 400 plus hour game?
We take Octodad. He has eight limbs.
Uh-huh.
Each limb is a different class for a character. And here's what it is. You ready for this? I'm about to fucking crack this wide open. You play as Octodad creating an RPG or creating like a little puppet show for his kids. So every little tentacle is dressed up like a tiny person, but it's just a tentacle. And he's like holding the little tentacles up on screen like an RPG. So it looks like a turn-based RPG. It has like menus for a turn-based RPG, but the sprites are all just little tentacles being held up.
Ooh, okay.
I'm imagining
like
something that plays a little bit...
Help you get through various different situations?
Yeah, it plays a little bit more like... There was this mobile game that I played on my phone called Knights of Pen and Paper or something like that, where it was just like a really, really simple RPG. Every little character had like a couple skills that you could use as you went through the legends or these... as you went through these different worlds and stuff. And so, like, I'm imagining, like, this, like, turn-based RPG that has, like, level selectors and a lot of text-based stories, but you can only have a class of up to four characters, and the villains are also tentacles dressed up to look like bad guys. And you just run through this, like, little story as Octodad is trying to communicate a puppet show to his kids.
That's actually really fucking cute, and I like that. I like that a lot because is it going to be a is it going to have the same controls as Octodad where it's just like each button represents like a different you have to hold down
none of the silly control schemes. It's just a fun menu based game, menu based RPG.
But why is that why is it Octodad though? Because that to me isn't Octodad anymore. It's just like a finger puppet show game.
That's a good point. How do we make it Octodad?
You know, so is it like you have to like do a multiplayer thing where, oh gosh,
you know, it would be really fucked up and really fun.
Because Xbox isn't experimenting with technology anymore, we have to do it for them.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
So what you do is this is a couch co-op game where you have four controllers hooked up to the same Xbox. Only one controller will be active at a time. So you have to communicate with the people you're sitting on the couch with. So like, hey, character number three, the mage of the group, your controller's active. Or like, everybody has to stop touching their controller to move one. So like if everybody's trying to move at the same time, it get like the game like it doesn't glitch, but it just doesn't work. You know what I mean? So like three of the players need to stop touching their fucking controllers buttons so one person can do what they need to do. And maybe the game is frustrating because it sometimes requires you to move multiple people at a time. So you have to like weigh your options, and it's very frustrating that way, the same way Octodad was.
What if it was like, okay, yeah, what if we do it? I love this controller idea, but what I'm kind of interested in is a game that, do you remember that one game we played on our phones? It was like a Telltale, like narrative-based game. But like we were a detective and we all...
That is so vague.
What was the name of it?
You're so vague. You're so vague right now. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was a little bit like Until Dawn, but we were all playing on our phones. So it was a cop drama where we could vote on what our characters did all based on our phones.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. So the game you're thinking about is Hidden Agenda.
Okay, yeah, Hidden Agenda. So Hidden Agenda was this game where it was one of those like story-based, like, oh, you just select the thing that you want, and then the characters will all do that based on the selections that you made. Mm-hmm. But what was kind of cool about Hidden Agenda was that your party had to like vote on what would be said, and whatever got the most votes won. What if we did a full turn-based RPG where that was the way that every encounter happened? All of the players had to agree on what you were going to do. And if you didn't agree on what you were going to do, then Octodad said, okay, I'm going to decide instead.
How about this? So we take a page out of Monster of the Week's book, the RPG. There's the idea of mixed successes in this game. So there's each situation has multiple outcomes. It's one where like you all refuse, you all agree, or some of you agree. So there's like that'll be like depending on how many people agreed will dictate what happens in that situation.
Yes, if all three characters agree that your caster casts Fireball, it's probably going to crit. But if only one person did, then the caster's still going to cast Fireball. But because only one person voted for Fireball, then the odds of that Fireball exploding on the caster are way higher.
Yes, but how we introduce some stank onto this, we take again from Hidden Agenda, everybody has their own hidden thing. So like the mage is like, your thing is like, no matter what you do this level, do not cast Fireball or something is really bad is going to happen.
Your character
you.
Gets more so, like, experience. Say,
your character gets more experience.
It's like that competitive co-op thing. Like you only gain. You don't lose out on anything. By not casting Fireball for the encounter, you would get more experience.
I want to do something like this because I think it'd be really, really fun.
Okay.
So you guys go. The bulk of the game is the voting aspect. But if something goes wrong, like your hidden agenda as the caster is like, don't cast Fireball, or something really bad is going to happen. Fireball gets casted. Your mage then goes crazy with power, and now it becomes an actual like side scroller beat 'em up where the three people have to take on the mage as a boss or something like that. So it becomes a little bit like, for example, what's that one game you and I play? It's the one where we're all ghosts trying to fight over the same body. that's trying to get out of the crypt.
Play as a ghost trying to control the body to get out of a crypt?
Yeah. And then the three players can then become monsters that the main person fights. And if you kill that person, you take over their body or their spot. And then you fight your way to a boss fight that the three players can then fuck with you. Crawl, thank you. So it plays like Crawl, where it's like you guys have to work it as a team, but then one person becomes somebody that the other three have to defeat to calm them back down and get back into the flow of the game.
My issue with turning it into Crawl is I don't know how that feels like Octodad still, unless we have four Octodads.
Well, it becomes a game that's about, it becomes like a multi-part game where it's like, it's the Octodad thing where you need to work in unison and like make sure you're voting and doing, and like certain characters have control in certain moments. But then if a dispute happens, sometimes it then becomes like a side scroller beat 'em up. So it's like a game that plays like Octodad, but then has another sub game.
So some combat encounters are played like an RPG. Other combat encounters are played like a beat-em-up.
Yes.
And it's decided by fuck you.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
like how would we create a game that decides which encounters play like what?
Well, I think you could do a thing where it's just like if it's like a story thing, you know what situations could cause like major, like you, I don't know, like maybe there's a tell that if you guys decide to do it this way.
If you
want
to just dump the RPG turn-based combat, we totally can.
Well, no, I like that because that it stays within the Octodad thing. I was just trying to find something that puts a little bit of a wrinkle on it and then goes from being, because admittedly, when we were playing Hidden Agenda, there was a lot of waiting. It was a lot of watching. There wasn't like things that immediately like got my blood pumping. And I think it'd be really fun.
Welcome
to
turn-based RPGs. There's a reason why I stopped playing Octopath Traveler.
Okay, fair. That's fair. I don't know. Maybe we just dropped that. Okay, go ahead.
I have it.
Yes.
If
your
concern is like you want to make sure that our players are still playing a reactionary game as well as the turn-based RPG,
yes,
then what we do is we gamify the reactions of the combat. So what we do is you to cast spells, and when it's your attack turn, everybody needs to vote on stuff, and depending on what gets the most votes means that attack's going to be the most effective.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Players are given a hidden agenda so that they can get themselves some bonus experience. In order to make sure that they're still playing a reactive game, the way it works is when the enemies in Octodad Traveler attack, then you get to control your little like tentacle character.
Yeah,
but it's very slidey, and you need to move your character into safety so that they are not attacked by the enemies.
Okay. So yes, I like that because I think adding that little element of like franticness and having direct control will make the decision parts a lot more bearable. Or it'll be like there will be a flow to the game where things are calm and then things are crazy and then things are calm again and things are crazy. And I think that'd be a lot of fun. All right. I think we've got...
Are we ready?
Do
you have one more for me?
Let me look. I don't know about you, AJ, but I remember the days of like sponsored games. Like games that were made for the Xbox or the PS3 or whatever that were meant to be built off of a brand. And if we're going to be launching the Xbox Series S... dumb title console.
It's the worst name for a game.
I know,
because
I keep fucking
and like,
forgetting
I do
it.
Have to give them major props for creating the shittiest name for a game console.
It's a cool console that shouldn't be made. I am not witty enough for a funny name. At ARP 1033, a game based off of your least favorite movie franchise with the goal of making it so bad it kills the entire brand. So AJ, what's your least favorite franchise? What's your least favorite movie?
Oh, man, I do such a good job deleting things that I hate from my mind.
Well, I remember, wasn't there like one that you really hated called The Kissing Booth that was just like so traumatically terrible that it was just a fucking terrible
experience? But I don't think, luckily, I don't think that's a franchise.
Oh, well, I mean, no, there's a Kissing Booth too. It's a franchise.
There's a what?
Yeah, isn't there like a Kissing Booth? Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a Kissing Booth too.
No, they didn't do a Kissing Booth 2, did they?
The Kissing Booth 2. It's a 2020 film. Yeah. Oh.
What?
Official sequel trailer. Yeah.
Why would they do this? Why would they make this? Why would they? What the fuck? All
right, AJ.
The first one is so bad.
AJ, tell us the plot of A Kissing Booth, please.
So the plot of The Kissing Booth is there's this girl and she gets sexually harassed in high school and she's like, hey, that sucks shit. And then the dude that did it says, you want to go on a date? And she's like, yeah, sure. I guess I'll go on a date with the guy that sexually harassed me. And then she finds out that like her best friend's older brother apparently walks around the school and fist fights anybody that shows interest in her because he's like crazy and like is like, I don't want anybody porking down with my sister's best brother's best friend.
That's not toxic. And she's like, that sucks.
And then she's like, but what if you porked down on me instead? And he was like,
Hey, AJ, real quick, please don't use the statement pork down on me. It like deeply makes me like actually uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's how what watching this movie feels like.
Oh shit.
So she goes ahead and goes on a date with the guy that was like fist fighting people that tried to ask her out, and then they fall in love, I guess. And then there's a scene where they go to a beach and get really drunk, and then like he's too drunk to like drive, so she starts to walk away, and then he like attacks a car and scares her, so she says, okay, I'll hop in the car with the guy that's been drinking all day. And they go off to like some view site, they get it on, it's quoted as romance. There's a scene where the big brother character that she's dating starts beating the absolute piss out of his little brother, and she's like,
God,
and that's just a plot point.
Wait,
and it's
why is this
off, like,
I'm looking at all of the fucking like wallpaper, posters and other things. This looks like a romantic teen comedy from the 70s, and I fucking hate
that's
the way
because
you're
that's how it's played. These are all things that happen and it's played like it's totally fine and cool.
Why?
And
it, here's well, actually,
the
wait, is it meant to be a
problem
satire?
I have with the game.
Is it meant to be a satire or is it like actually
no, because
they,
it,
like,
if it is meant to be a satire, it's not played like a satire. But I do have one issue with it that is a matter of production, and it is maybe the funniest thing I've ever seen and also the strangest.
Okay.
Anytime the male lead and the female lead are in a scene where they're supposed to be intimate together, they have the male lead stand on an apple box, making him 6 inches taller than her.
Oh my fucking God. That reminds me.
This is not a joke because there's a scene near the end where you can watch him take a step backward and you watch him step off the apple box and shrink.
How fucking weak is your masculinity, you fucking head. That reminds me so much. Okay, wait. I can't blame the actor because that might be like the that might be the director.
No, this was the director's choice to be like, yeah. When we're on this side of them, he's standing on an apple box, so she's only standing to like his elbow. Like, I don't know why they made that conscious decision. But well, in any scene where they're like intimate together, he's like a million feet tall. And then when they go back to the wides, when they can't have him on the apple box, he's like a normal dude height.
There's our game. There's our game. So it's a dumb little phone game where you're about to have a photo taken of you or something with this girl that you like, and it's a puzzler trying to figure out, hey, what's the thing in this environment that I can use to move to get that I can stand on to be taller? And it's just like the entire time we're just commenting on how fucking dumb that is. Because you know what that reminds me of? I don't know if you ever saw it, but it's like one of the funniest fucking pictures I've ever seen of just a dude being a dude, bro. Dumb shit. It's this baseball player was on the field being interviewed by a very, very tall female reporter, and they actually brought over like the bucket of baseballs so he can stand on it so he himself can be like a head taller than the interviewer woman. And I just look at that and I'm like, you are just like such a dumb, just gross person, and I can't help but laugh at that. And that's what this
why do we put so much emphasis on people's height? What the hell?
Because it's like, it's supposed to be like a representation of like you're taller than everybody. So you are seeing things from a higher vantage point. You are in control. You have a position of power. And like, of course, like when they're trying to show a dude in a romantic relationship with a girl or whatever, he's got to be the large dominant one that's always in control of the situation. And it's just toxic, dumb bullshit. And I feel like... I hate it, but also I love hate the advertising for this movie, because like when I type in Kissing Booth 2, one of the first things that comes up is Marco is a snack, and I'm like, go fuck yourself. And it's just like
It's just so funny. Guess how much it has on Rotten Tomatoes.
It should have... Wait, Kissing Booth 1 or Kissing Booth 2?
Kissing Booth 2.
The Revenge of the Kissing Booth. Revenge I don't know. I don't want to think about it.
Kissing Booth 2, Electric Boogaloo. 27%.
We can only hope that it's way less toxic.
It's 27%. And I very much doubt it, because it looks like one of the things is Battle of the Boyfriends. So it looks like two dudes that are competing over this girl. And... so
damn,
we just release a game that's a Telltale series of Kissing Booth 2, and it's just awful. It just brings to the light all of the bad scenes from Kissing Booth.
I don't know how you can kill it. I think the only way that we can create a video game that is so bad that it kills Kissing Booth is by creating a video game so bad it kills Netflix, and they released Bandersnatch and it didn't do anything to them, so they're fucking immortal.
Well, keep in mind is that how do you kill a series that how do you kill something that will not die?
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying we can't kill Kissing Booth. We have to kill
but
Netflix.
Okay, so how do we release a game that can kill Netflix?
I'll tell you how we release a video game that kills Netflix. Let me introduce you to the Xbox Series S Game Pass.
Uh-huh.
There's the tool to kill Netflix.
Oh, we just create better Netflix.
It's just the Xbox Game Pass. Xbox doing it. I didn't expect to land here, but now I'm rooting for Xbox Series S Game Pass to kill Netflix so that we don't get Kissing Booth 2.
Killing Booth.
Let me create Killing Booth for Xbox Game Pass.
It's the name of it's Kissing Booth 3. It's just called The Killing Booth. They're in the post-apocalypse, and it's just teen drama in the post-apocalypse. Wait, that actually sounds cool. Don't fuck that. I don't want anything affiliated with Kissing Booth. It's terrible.
All right, let's pick a nug.
All right. I think it's our exercise FPS game. What do you think?
I also think it's the... We've done an eSport already is where I'm a little bit concerned.
We haven't done a workout game yet, though. I think that's what makes it.
You know what?
Cool.
That's a good point. And the reason why workout games haven't been taken seriously yet is because they haven't broken into the eSport scene. So, yeah, you know what? I agree. Let's do a workout-based game.
Just the idea of... It's like, welcome to FPS Worlds 2020-21, and you just have a bunch of people that are just jacked as shit, but in very specific areas, just like coming onto the stage, just like a dude with really yoked, with like a yoked neck, but nothing else, you know? I don't know why that's so funny to me.
Hold on, wait, hear me out. You mentioned Worlds, right?
Uh-huh.
We're going to steal Worlds from League, which means that our game, we already know it needs to be like fit. It needs to be fitness based, and it needs to be astrology based with our naming conventions, right?
Astrology based? What are you talking about?
Well, not astrology based. It needs to be astronomical. It needs to be like space terminology, because we're going to steal the word Worlds from League.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But it's also a fitness game.
Is it just Fitness World?
Planet Fitness.
Blake, we're creating Planet Fitness, the game. No, okay, well, hold on. That's the name of the event. That's the yearly event where all of the best, all the best, like, FPS, buff FPS players come and play. And it's really cool. It's a really positive environment. Everybody's telling each other that they love each other. It's a good environment. I don't want none of that toxic shit. That you get it.
Like,
I don't know,
envision
if
a world,
world.
Envision a world where the community around this game is toxic when the hype moments include people doing a backflip.
I mean, I don't know.
It's impossible. We've created the most radical game ever. It's all the tension of Worlds, but when they get to the team fight, people just start doing backflips. This rules.
And you know what we do on social media is, like, anytime the camera comes to somebody in the crowd, they have to do a backflip. So it's like, oh, the camera's obviously, you just have like a wave of people just doing backflips on camera. And it's like the most experience ever.
Well, people do backflips when they need to do their alts. This is going to be an amazing game. Mm-hmm. I think we've agreed that it's like it's a character-based first-person shooter where all skills are triggered with physical activities, mm-hmm. burpees, mm-hmm. push-ups, squats, backflips. Well, backflips mm-hmm. are for alts. Mm-hmm. The meta is going to come and go, most likely depending on what character can get the players ready to do a backflip best, mm-hmm. just because those are going to be the characters that have the alts that are going to change the battle most often.
Okay, and the alts are... See, the alts is where it gets a little weird for me. What is the alt in a shooter game? Is it like Call of... I have indigestion, sorry. What is
I'm imagining like alts in the same way that like Overwatch or Valorant have alts or Paladins. We have characters that like clear a room, people that can create a super force field, people that can create.
The thing I'm confused on here is that is this when the games we've used as examples are kind of very grounded, at least a little bit, in like it's humans behind the guns. Is this going to be superhero? Is it like Overwatch where it's superheroes behind the guns, I guess is what I'm getting at. Is it going to be like cyborgs? There's a sentient ape man. Is it going to be a awesome airplane pilot that was in a tragic accident?
I see. Yeah. We have to ask ourselves, what's the flavor of it, right? Valorant has all these spec ops people. Overwatch has these superheroes. Mm-hmm. What is the flavor? I think the flavor is perhaps... Mm-hmm. Is it perhaps professional athletes are the flavor? We have characters that come in and like we have a hockey-based character. We have a football-based character. We have a soccer-based character.
Interesting. So like if like the hockey
person main the lacrosse-based character because he's got good range. He's got solid passing and he's the only character with a weaponized stick. Only bladed character. Well, except for the fencing character, but that's different.
That is fair. Oh, dude, an all melee like fencing person? That would be really cool.
Well, there's going to definitely be a boxing character.
Oh, that's rad as shit, actually. Okay, so it's not just like an FPS, it's also like a melee game that where there are some characters who do have like distance. It's like I mean, like even in Overwatch there's some characters that are strictly melee, like Reinhardt. Is this basically... Oh, well, he does have that thing where he can send a blaster
Here's the next question.
He can shoot himself at you, but, like, yeah.
I think that it is an objective-based game, like, where, like, you're trying to score points. I kind of want to maybe create an e-sport game by mixing in every possible kind of athlete, where the goal is to get, like, score the ball into the field goal or zone for other characters. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
some maps will have like that you can throw the ball in. Some maps will have you have to run the ball in. Some maps, we'll swap around. Maybe there's a map where you have to dunk the ball rather than just throwing it.
Yeah, you have to hit the ball to a certain area. It'll be like baseball. Here's the thing. So the backdrop of this game is like the ultimate sports arena, where it's just like, hey, we are going to create the ultimate.
We've
sport
created
that uses
sports ball
players. Yeah, we've created sports ball, the ultimate sport that includes every type of every game, every sports game imaginable into one game. So that's why you have hockey players in the ring with baseball players. That's why you have boxers in the ring with football players. So it's ultimate. It's what we call it, ultimate sports ball. USB? That's funny. Ultimate sports ball, and then our yearly event is called Planet Fitness. All right, is ultimate sports ball good, or do you think it's missing some of that action, some of that zest? What do you think?
Are you talking about the name or the creation of the game in general?
I think the game's solid as it is. I think I'm just on name now.
Ultimate sports ball. Here's the thing, it's like usually I'd want to veer away from just like noun, or like word.
How
ultimate sports ball does work surprisingly.
Interesting. Okay, how about workout ball? Or like we include workout to some degree. So like people know what they're getting into when they look at this game. So it'll be like...
Yeah, I think that what we're creating, we're trying to find like Ring Fit Adventure, but bring in the stank of an esport brand.
So we have
bring in a little bit of like, what makes it feel like an esport? Valorant, League of Legends,
Paladins.
Dota, which I'm sure is an Dota. Acronym for something.
What does Dota? Defense of the Ancients. I have never heard it ever in my life called that.
Yeah, wait. But hey, I was right though, right?
Whoa, this was a mod for World of Warcraft. Or sorry, Warcraft 3, Reign of Chaos. Defense of Ancients was a mod at first. That's actually very fascinating. I did not know that. All right, well, so
is athletes a strong enough word?
Athletes. I don't know. I like the idea of a phrase, and just the one that stands out to me is get pumped.
What if it's called pump ball?
Pump ball? Is it too sexual? Is pump too sexual? It has like a little bit of a connotation.
Hearing it back, I didn't like it very much.
All right, let's call it Ultimate Sports Ball. Whatever. We're already running the clock.
Ultimate Sports Ball it is.
We got shit to do. Let's go. Let's do it.
I'm happy with Ultimate Sports Ball.
I am also very happy with Ultimate Sports Ball.
You ready to go to patch notes?
I am very much ready to go patch notes. Let's do it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to patch notes. As always, Blake and I got a couple things that we want to ramble off and rattle through. Actually, I lied today. I only have one thing. If you could do us a huge, huge, huge solid and leave us a review on iTunes, we honestly, like, these things help us on the back end. It makes Apple look at us and actually take us seriously. It makes other people checking out the show look at us and take us a little bit more seriously. And it just makes Blake and I feel really good to see those little comments, because we are victims of the 21st century and we see comments about us and it makes our brain go
makes our lizard brain go good.
So if you want to just leave us some nice words of
kindness.
Words of niceness.
I actually want to read one, because I went to our iTunes just now and I found one that I really, really thought was really sweet. This comes to us from Deck Dwelling Tea Drinker. Wonderfully inclusive comedy video game design. A delightful podcast with sweet himbo energy, which never ceases to make me giggle. The boys love each other and their community, and every once in a while make a game that I'm genuinely upset I cannot play. Thank you, Deck Dwelling Tea Drinker. You're so fucking kind and awesome.
Yeah,
and sweet.
That's really cool. Nice. I'm glad to know that you think this is like an exclusive space. That's nice.
Yeah. So
thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in this week, and we hope to see you next week.
As always, our intro and outro is Cheap Shot by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game, which we may have to change depending on how the world goes, because maybe a miracle's happening.
Oh, yeah, dude. We'll have to talk about that next episode.
I've been your host, AJ Hart.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be made.